Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio on this Thursday, January the 11th, says my iPhone. We depend on those things, don't we, today? Who looks at a calendar anymore? Hardly. Walker Wildman with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning, and speaking of calendars and dates, yesterday I was helping my wife track one of her packages that was late getting to our house via one of the delivery services, and my watch on my wrist was wrong. It showed me as the 11th. So I call, and I'm basing my whole argument with the postal fella that today's the 11th and it's late. Well, after three times of telling me that no sir, it's the 10th, I had to apologize for my mistake. So make sure you're referencing the right date when you want to have a confrontation.
Now that watch you got. Let me introduce Fred Jackson first. Fred, good morning.
Good to be here.
And Ray Pritchard. Good morning,
good
Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
I continue, Walker. I got to know about this thing now.
Yeah.
So how do you your watch on your wrist? That's not connected to the internet or anything.
No, it's off the grid.
It is.
So what happened is I traveled to the East Coast 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Many of you heard about that yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
It was a train wreck. But I was fiddling around changing my watch to East Coast time, so I was on time everywhere. And I guess in that transition, I changed the date on accident.
Uh-huh.
And so I had
so,
to fix that.
Walker doesn't remember Ray and Ed, Rosanna Dana.
That's right.
That's right.
Rosanna, that'll date you.
Saturday Night Live.
Walker,
right. When we get through, you can Google Rosanna, okay. Rosanna Dana. But Rosanna Dana would come on Saturday Night Live, and it was Gilda Radner. Mm-hmm. And she'd go on some kind of rant mm-hmm. for about 2 minutes or so, and then somebody will tell her fundamental fact of her argument was completely wrong, to which she would respond, "Never mind." So you got into your little discussion with your
that was me
postal
yesterday.
Guy, and you were making your argument, and you were all righteous, and then you figured out he's right.
Yeah, and I apologized.
Okay.
So I
all
told
right.
him I apologize, and
all right.
he accepted it, and we were good.
Moved on.
That's right.
All right, Fred, what's happening?
You know, things are bad for the anti-Trump crowd when a champion of anti-Trumpism, who happens to be a columnist with the New York Times, writes a column that says the anti-Trump movement is crumbling and it's getting dumber.
For the New York Times?
David Brooks is a columnist with the New York Times, and he describes himself as an anti-Trumper. But he says it's absolutely ridiculous. The anti-Trump movement is getting ridiculous. And in this column, he notes, Trump has boosted the economy, passed tax reform, got serious about immigration enforcement, put Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, cut over $8 billion in regulations, created 1.8 million new jobs, played a big role in North and South Korea, coming to the negotiating table prior to the Winter Olympics, and defeated ISIS, and on it goes. So it's interesting, you know, CNN and that crowd are still going on about Russia collusion. You know, I think, honestly believe, most Americans are really tuning that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing there. But it's really interesting that this David Brooks, here's what he has to say about the Wolf novel that came out, you know. "We anti-Trumpers," I'm quoting him now, "have our lowbrowism too, mostly on late-night TV, but anti-Trump lowbrowism burst into full bloom with the Wolf book. Wolf doesn't pretend to adhere to normal journalistic standards. He happily admits that he's just tossing out rumors that are too good to check."
Right, and you had a Freudian slip earlier. You called it a novel.
A novel.
Yeah. I don't think it's a novel, per se. It is fiction,
mm-hmm.
mostly, or as you say, made up.
Mm-hmm.
As this gentleman here, the New York Times, calls it, the book.
It's a book, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you've got David Brooks saying something like that. you know the times, they really are a-changing, right?
Yeah.
Another good play on words right there, Ray. The times, they are a-changing.
That's right.
The New York Times. Well, you know, that's interesting because, Ray, because these folks, these anti-Trump folks, the resistant resistance movement, they there's no question that they are garnering support from their own base, the people on the left who hate President Trump and always have and always will, as they do anybody who espouses conservative ideas. But, Ray, they just seem to be unhinged is not, I mean, I don't even know if that describes any of the door is laying on the floor.
Well, you know, there's a couple things that have happened here. Number one, the president has had a long string of successes. And, it you know, after a while, you really can't deny the things that David Brooks said in his column. And then you have President Trump gathering the, you know, the people, the Democrats and the Republicans that round the table, and he has it televised and all that. Part of the thing about the president is he doesn't fit any known categories, right? So we don't even know today. We kind of knew what Barack Obama was going to do. With President Trump, you never know day to day. And that's part of the thing that he's, you almost might call it misdirection. He's driving the people on the other side completely crazy because all this winning. And they can't believe it. And they have no answer for it.
And they think they've got the kill shot, you know, almost weekly. And it turns out, you know, President Trump is not damaged. Or is if he is damaged, he's only damaged with the left.
Right.
Yeah. You know. Hey, Walker, tell us about the Facebook, what we're doing on Facebook today, and then we'll get back to the news. I forgot to mention that.
Yes, we are live streaming on the Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go there, watch the show, comment, and find all the news stories there. That's the go-to place for Today's Issues information. Also, good news, kind of a technical behind the scenes, we got a new computer where we stream on to Facebook. We got a new computer here. So the times where I tell y'all we're having technical difficulties, that should stop for the most part. So our live stream on Facebook should be a lot more reliable and trustworthy now.
So we've upgraded.
We have upgraded.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Walker, Fred, and Ray.
Well, you know, continue on the same vein with regards to what the president is doing. Nobody can argue what's going on in the economy right now
is
a result of his policies. The number of companies that have responded to the tax reform law being signed into law just before Christmas there. And I was watching a program yesterday, and there was these wall of logos behind the reporter, all these companies that are giving their employees bonuses. Walmart joined that group yesterday. They not only are giving at least some employees bonuses, but they raised their minimum wage, I think it is, to $11 an hour. So there you have it. You've got now millions of Americans who are benefiting. Their companies are telling them, because of what President Trump has done, we're going to give you some extra money. Now, this is before they start to see an increase in their take-home pay next month as a result of the changes in the percentages of income tax. So how has Democrats, do you go out and campaign against that? How do you go tell somebody, Donald Trump is a terrible person, even though he gave you a pay raise, and even though your company gave you a $1,000 bonus? Is that a winning election theme?
Well, you know, President Clinton, remember the famous campaign theme he had?
Yes.
It's the economy, stupid. Remember that?
Yes.
The economy is stupid. If that's true, and I do think pocketbook or economics, if you will, you know, kitchen table economics does have a huge impact on people's psyche and how they think about politicians. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not always – that should not be your only way to judge a person's effectiveness or their – political ideology, but still it's a big one, and with a lot of people you know, I think that will help him.
Exactly.
I think that will help and could potentially help the Republicans in the fall from, you know, doing what normally happens in midterm elections for the party of the president, and that is lose seats.
Exactly.
So we'll see how that all plays out in the coming months. We're a long way from November, but still, the Republicans have something good to go out and campaign on.
That's for sure. Now, as we sit here today, the Republicans and Democrats are still meeting to see if they can come up with a solution on the so-called Dreamers, the DACA, which are these young people who came into this country illegally when their parents entered illegally back several years ago. So they're working on that, but as we saw the other day in this kind of live news conference with the president and all these Democrats, the president wants to link a solution to these Dreamers with securing our southern border. Well, it's really interesting. Yesterday, the United States Commission on Civil Rights, not known for supporting conservative causes or things that the Republican Party wants to do, they wrote a letter to Senator James Lankford, and we have received a copy of this letter. Let me read you a little bit of what they are saying to Senator James Lankford with regards to this whole DACA Dreamer Secure the Southern Wall. Because it appears that a significant number of senators and congressmen continue to favor amnesty without a wall, it is important to reemphasize a rarely discussed effect of granting legal status or effective amnesty to illegal immigrants. Such grant of legal status without serious, robust immigration enforcement will likely disproportionately harm unskilled American workers, particularly lower-skilled African Americans, by making it more difficult for them to obtain employment and depressing their wages when they do obtain employment. This is the United States Commission on Civil Rights talking like Republicans to Democrats. We must find a solution for the Dreamers, but we must secure that border wall, or they go on basically to say, if you don't secure the border wall, there'll be more Dreamers that come in. Hmm. And that'll have a very negative impact, particularly on the African-American community.
Again, to define, quote, Dreamers, end quote, we're talking about people who were brought to the U.S. As minors.
By their moms or dads or some other adult.
Yeah, yeah. And they lived here illegally for however many years. And the question is, what to do with these folks? Do you and that's what they're discussing in Washington D.C. right now, and that's what we're talking about. President, do you know, Ray, what the president is offering with regard to those people? And he's trying to make a deal, isn't he?
Right, and it seems on one side he wants a guarantee. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but he wants a guarantee that money is going to be committed for the beginning of the construction of the wall. And I think he is willing to agree to some pathway to citizenship. I think that's where it's going to end up. But he is saying he wants money to move forward with the wall. And I think if he doesn't get the money, there's not going to be a DACA deal.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. What you're saying there, Ray's right. And Ann Coulter, who is very good on this subject, very strong on the subject, was on with Lou Dobbs a couple days ago, and she made a good point that this is risky territory for Republicans to, even if they do get funding for the wall, to weigh into this immigration territory and start authorizing legalization or a form of legalization for a large population of the illegal immigrants, because she said it gives the opportunity for a federal judge to step in and basically make their own law. So as it stands right
now, that happens?
Very rarely, but it happens. As it stands now, there's no, there's not necessarily a case or a law for a judge to step in and do that. But if Congress passes a law which gives some form of amnesty, it's likely a judge will step in and say, no, everyone gets amnesty. You cannot discriminate. Everyone gets amnesty.
That's an interesting point. Ann Coulter made that point.
Yeah, and so you're almost left at saying, well, we probably just need to keep the status quo, because we do have good immigration laws. We have good federal laws. They're just, the system's just overwhelmed right now.
Exactly. So,
but that's interesting. Fred's, what you're citing a letter from basically a liberal organization, and they're writing to a Republican senator.
Yeah,
Lankford from Oklahoma, and I'm assuming that letter went to all the members of Congress. But what they're saying is, that if you allow for these people to become legal citizens, it's going to depress the job opportunities for African Americans.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they're saying you've got to build the wall. Because if you don't, the rate of illegal immigration is going to continue, and that will amplify the problem and problems for the African American community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just an aside, and I know we're kind of past this, but I am curious to know what President Trump meant when he said, "And Mexico will pay for it," because that never materialized.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I would like to hear from him what he meant by that. Has he ever explained that?
I think he has. I think he was talking about maybe a tariff or some kind of tax from money going from the U.S. back to Mexico from workers here in the U.S. They apparently wire a bunch of money back home to the Mexico.
Oh yeah.
In the billions. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and many people don't know this, but even Republicans, the majority of Republicans are against building a wall or a fence on the southern border. There was a poll done for Congress. It was an anonymous poll, so members weren't on the record per se. But I think it was 60, 70, 80% of congressmen and senators were against the wall. And that was a bipartisan poll. So, you know,
When was this?
This was a year ago, when President Trump was just sworn in. But it just shows that it's an uphill battle if we think we're going to get the wall funded.
For the life of me, I can't understand why you'd be opposed to that. Honest to goodness, unless you're for open borders. If you're for open borders, just tell me.
Just say it. Just say it. Basically, say do away with national borders.
Yes,
mm-hmm. altogether, and then you get the kind of chaos that they have in Europe. Right. Otherwise, what's wrong with strong national borders and saying, as a nation, and I think we're saying, as Americans, we get to control who comes in.
Yeah.
And we understand Brazil should do the same thing, right? And we're saying every country has the right to define its borders and to protect who comes in and who goes out. How is that not just common sense?
Yeah, and you know, I heard Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democrat, Chuck Schumer, the Democrat leader in the Senate, I heard him the other day, and he was basically saying he was against the wall because it basically, if I understood him right, it wouldn't work. And my question was first of all, walls do work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. That's why you have them. That's why they have a fence around Chuck Schumer's house, probably. The walls do work. But secondly, that's not a reason to oppose it. You might say, well, I don't think it'll work, but I'm not opposed to it because I understand the concept. I think this all goes back to the Democrats as a party basically are opposed to the wall because they are open borders people. Now, they oftentimes won't come out and say it like that. They'll use other excuses like I've just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But they're basically an open border party. And the reason for that is, if we mentioned before, is they view it as a way to take over the country. And what you do is you have open borders and you create chaos and you flood our country with all kind of problems like hospital over, you know, emergency room. You flood the country, but ultimately, in the end, you get these folks legalized,
right?
Get them to vote. They're going to vote Democrat, 80-20, 90-10, and that way you get rid of the Republican Party altogether as a viable option.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their ultimate objective. In being against a border wall, for example.
Exactly.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries will be with us, as she normally does on Thursdays, in just a few minutes. Fred, what's next?
Well, a headline today that we're running on OneNewsNow.com, major shift as Trump opens way for Medicaid work requirement. Now, these numbers are astounding to me. There are 70 million Americans right now, or at least people in this country, I'll put it that way, who are now receiving Medicaid benefits. Now, here's what the Trump administration would like to do. They would like to say, if you're receiving Medicaid, we want to see at least you're making an effort to go out and find a job. Now, there'll be exceptions. Some people who are caring maybe for a loved one, a senior in their home, you know, they continue to get Medicaid. But for the most part, they want to see an effort of those people who, and talk, there's been similar talk for the food stamp program and all of that sort of thing, that you're making an effort to get off of these programs. And the other concern, obviously, that's out there, there's a high degree of fraud that's been going on in these programs, whether it is SNAP or whether it's Medicaid. But then we have another story today. This is a particular incident of fraud. Now, folks, hold on to your seat for this one. New Jersey man admits $185,000 Social Security theft. This is a man, state line is Trenton, New Jersey. His aunt, who was receiving Social Security benefits up until her death in 1998, she died in 1998. Oh, he continued to collect her Social Security until 2016. So for 20 years after Aunt Martha passed away, this guy continued to get checks from our federal government to the tune of $185,000. Years.
That's just one example.
Just one example.
You think this goes on? Obviously, this goes on.
It's widespread.
How do you not know? I wonder, Ray, do you have any idea how that process is supposed to work? Or
are you? Well, yeah. How is it you could be dead for 20 years, right? Uh-huh. And your nephew could be still getting your benefits? How is that even possible?
Well, we discussed this at our newsroom story meeting this morning. Just think about this. In the olden days, and some people still do, they get a paper check in the mail. And it's made out to Aunt Martha. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Aunt Martha and the nephew have a joint account. Mm-hmm. But still, Aunt Martha has to sign her signature on the back of that Social Security check. But what has happened in the last several years? Something called direct deposit. Mm-hmm. So, how is the federal government going to know that Aunt Martha has passed away? Direct deposit. It's a pipeline directly from the federal government into your checking account. Doesn't matter if it's a joint checking account. The money is still going in. Aunt Martha doesn't have to sign and endorse the check anymore. Mm-hmm. So that is one way we thought that this is happening, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would think also there is a proviso somewhere in the regulations where when somebody dies, the funeral home, the doctor, has to send a death certificate to the federal government. Well, I don't know whether that got lost in the mail, but obviously for 20 years, the federal government
right.
did not know that Aunt Martha had passed away.
So the nephew, what's the fella's name? Did it say?
Yeah, he's going to end up going to jail for a little while.
Yeah, I'll see. 56-year-old Lance Nelson. So Lance.
Yeah.
Hey, Lance, about that money.
Yeah. 185 grand. Over 20 years.
Huh? When did Aunt Martha? 1998.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I forgot to tell y'all. I'm sorry.
Sorry
about passed
that.
Away. When she passed away?
1998.
Oh, my word. But, you know, there's massive fraud in all those federal government programs.
Exactly.
Just massive fraud. All right, we shall return with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. In about 3 minutes, we'll be back here with more. Jan Markell will be with us, and we will continue our conversation. We'll see you then.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers
The impulse drive.
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The home of low prices is about to be the home of higher wages. Walmart says they're raising its starting salary to $11 an hour, also expanding maternity and parental leave benefits. As many as a million of their hourly workers will also receive a $1,000 cash bonus, and it's all because of President Trump's tax cuts. The cuts Democrat Nancy Pelosi warned would hurt the working class and bring about the end of the world.
This is Armageddon.
But instead of Armageddon, hundreds of companies around the nation are in fact raising wages, providing better benefits, from big companies like Southwest Airlines to a small grocery store chain in Delaware. So in November, you have a clear choice at the ballot box. You can either vote for the party who thinks higher wages is a good thing, or you can vote for the party that thinks higher wages is apocalyptic.
This is Armageddon.
I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of the program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. And Walker's got us live video streaming on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go and comment there on the program, as well as access the news stories that we've been discussing here this morning. Also, we have an app. If you have a smart device like a phone or an iPad or something similar to that, you can get the AFR app. It takes you about a minute or two to download, and then you can listen clear as a bell on your smart device anywhere in the world, as long as you got a high-speed internet to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray's in Dallas, expecting some bad weather across much of the country. Fred, aren't we?
Yeah, it's we're in springtime right now at the moment in our home base here in Mississippi. Like, the low was last 60 degrees last night.
I almost had to turn on the air conditioner last night at home.
But now this weekend, I hear it's plummeting down to like 18 Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be whacked again with some real cold weather from the
north. Yeah, but the people north of us, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and then move east, they're going to have some serious ice.
Yes, freezing rain, ice,
icy
snow.
Conditions.
Nasty.
Nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have now with us Jan Markell. Jan is president of Olive Tree Ministries, and she joins us each Thursday from Twin Cities in Minnesota. And Jan, good morning to you.
Yeah, you guys have no reason to complain about weather.
I knew this was coming.
Boy, you ought to be ashamed
of
yourself.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You're a bunch of wimps down there.
Oh, man. Wow, that hurts, Jan.
Well, that's true.
It's a fact.
It's just, okay. Okay, what do we talk to Jan about now, Fred?
Weather. I just want to know. See, Jan goes to the mailbox in short sleeves and minus 20 degree temperatures.
Minus 20. The wind chill was 100 below recently.
What?
Hello. Yeah.
Yes. Further north of me, 100 below wind chill. Yeah. It's like Mars.
I can't even imagine that.
You know, golf and fishing, that's out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Although you could tee off a long way with that kind of wind behind you. I'm going to tell you that right there. Might have a hard time finding.
That's true.
Kind of had a hard time finding your ball, but you definitely have the distance. All right, Fred.
Oh, man.
Switching to a more serious note for our question to Jan.
Jan, yesterday our good friend in Washington, Gary Bowery, puts out an end of day. And part of his article was another radical imam.
Yeah.
And he's quoting transcripts that a group called Middle East Media Research Center puts out.
Yeah,
and normally they're dealing with mosques in the Middle East. But yesterday he pointed out, Gary did, using information from the Middle East Media Research Center, mosques right here in the United States, California, South Carolina, Tennessee, Garland, Texas, and now he says Raleigh, North Carolina, and Houston, Texas. And what he did is supply us with transcripts of messages from imams on December the 8th at a mosque in Houston, Texas, and one there in Raleigh, Durham. And basically, it was imams that were spewing hatred against Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's pointed out, this is happening all the time. These are people who are advocating the death of Jewish people. And it's happening not just in mosques in Iran and Iraq and Syria. It's now happening at mosques in this country.
Well, it's happening in mosques, a couple of them up here in the Twin Cities area. One in one of our suburbs is particularly troubling. And, of course, we have a lot of Somalis here, not suggesting they're all terrorists. They're not, but too many of them go to this particular mosque in the suburb of the Twin Cities and get indoctrinated. But one of my recaps of 2017 and projections for 2018 is the startling rise of anti-Semitism everywhere. Do you know that Jews in Germany, some anyway, depending on the city, have to be accompanied by police just to carry out their normal daily duties? The Jews in France are fleeing to Israel because it's too dangerous for them to live any longer in France. Now, when the climate comes to America, certainly, Fred, what you're citing is going to probably start this, but I mean, that's Islamic-type retaliation and anti-Semitism. We've got it going on in textbooks, in our schools, in college campuses. So it's a rising concern for the pro-Israel community that this is escalating. The Bible predicted in the end times Jews and Christians, people of the book, Jews and Christians would come under greater persecution. So that's one of the reasons we see it happening.
Why would imams teach hate for anybody? Why would they, imams, we're talking about Muslim clerics.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, folks, in case you haven't been following it, there's been more and more reports from across the country.
This country,
U.S., about imams or Muslim clerics, if you will. And their teachings inside their mosque have been gotten out to the public, and they're promoting anti-Semitism.
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about here. And I know the answer to my own question, but I'm just, for the benefit maybe of somebody who's new to this topic, Jan, I'm asking you, why does this happen? Why the hatred for the Jews in particular, Christians too, by the people in the Muslim faith? Not all of them, obviously, but
well, it's because we're not Muslims, basically. I mean, the radicals believe that if you're not a Muslim, you're to have your head cut off. So But number one and two on their list, and I'm not quite sure which would be one and two, but Christians and Jews, look at the Middle East. Look at what's happened to the Christian population of the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the tragedy of the 21st century, personally. But Christians and Jews on the run, because the Quran encourages this, and then it's stirred up by the radical imams in mosques all around the world, not the least of which in mosques in the U.S. Again, mm-hmm. they're here in the Twin Cities. So
Ray, Ray Pritchard with us again. Ray's co-host of the program today. So, Ray, what Jan's talking about here, anyone who's a non-Muslim, this is the teaching of a lot of people who teach inside Islam. You have to understand that, folks. You ask yourself, why does a man in New York get in a van and drive down the road and run over people who are
right.
riding their bicycles? What does he get out of that? Well, this is what we're talking about. This is why these things go on over and over and over again. That's proof that these teachings do exist to a lot of Muslims. When you see things that don't have any connection, there's no reasonable explanation for why somebody would do that. Now, people do those kinds of things if they're insane, mentally ill people do that, or if they're drunk, mm-hmm. you know, or on drugs or something like that. That happens, yes. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are sober, who are otherwise, they're often reported, these jihadists, as he was the nicest guy, you know, a great neighbor. Remember, you mm-hmm. hear this all the time. So you go, why do these people do things? So, Ray, the motivation must be, if they can kill infidels, they please
right.
Allah. Is that right, Ray? And then go, Ray first, and then Jan. Go ahead.
Well, number one, you said it exactly right. And you and Jan gave the proper qualification, obviously. Not all Muslims are radical terrorists, but these people who are doing what you're talking about, they're not necessarily crazy or deranged. When the man gets into the truck filled with explosives or just
right.
drives the truck into a crowd, he actually believes in his heart. He's following the tenets of his own
That's
religion,
right.
and he's got verses in the Quran to back it up. And we do a real disservice if we say, well, all these people are crazy. No, most of them are not crazy in that sense. They are being obedient to what they understand their religion teaches, which is why it is so dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Jan, go ahead.
Well, I frankly believe, and I've been quite public about this at my own risk, that it's probable that Allah is the devil. Allah is Satan. Therefore, some of these folks who so wholeheartedly do worship Allah, I hate to say it, but they're worshiping Satan, and therefore they get filled with evil, not good. I think this plays into it. And that's why when Christians come out and say that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, you know, I just rail at that because it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Couldn't be.
Jan Markell joining us. Jan's with Olive Tree Ministries. And Jan, thanks for being on with us. What do you got coming up this weekend on your show?
Pastor Jack Hibbs and I, Calvary Chapel pastor, are going to talk a lot of current events from a biblical perspective, and I think your audience will enjoy it.
Okay, that's at noon.
Noon on Sunday, 1 p.m. Saturday Central Time, 12 and 1 Saturday, Sunday 12, Saturday 1 Central.
Central Time here on American Family Radio. Check out Jan's show. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Pardon me. Yeah, this you're right. You used the word, I think you did, Ray, disservice when we call these jihadis.
We're not being honest. You know, we're not being honest about it. If you call these people crazy, then you are actually devaluing what they are actually doing.
Yeah.
They are doing it because they believe they're being faithful to the religion and they're following what their imams have taught them, which is why, Fred and Walker, it's so difficult to eradicate this because it's being preached. We're not saying in every mosque, but in many mosques, it is being preached. And this hatred of anybody who's not Muslim is being inculcated. I don't know exactly how you stop that.
Here's the other problem, too. The mainstream media is not touching this.
Right.
You know, you had the incident in Fort Hood. Nedal Hassan, a major in the U.S. military, they knew he was having conversations with terrorists in the Middle East, but they let it go because they didn't want to offend people in that religion. And he ended up killing all those people at Fort Hood. You know, the recruiting center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, these are incidents inside the borders of the United States.
Right.
This stuff has been happening. You got this hatred being spewed out there. It's absolutely incredible. We're dealing with a couple of stories this week. The name Mohammed. More and more babies in the United States being named Mohammed. Those are stats that are coming out. And there's a story out there today saying by 2040, I believe it is, that Islam will be the second biggest religion, most prolific religion in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Now you stop and think about that.
Yeah,
we are turning into Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope that we don't continue down that road. But I will say this. The reason a lot of people are quick to label a jihadist crazy, mm-hmm. or they'll say lone wolf, or they'll say nut job. Mm-hmm. And most Americans would say, yes, somebody who drives a van and mows down people on their bicycles, that is the actions of a nut job. You would say that because it is so far out of the norm of human behavior. However, the reason they people use descriptions such as nut job, crazy, a loony, whacked in the head, whatever, is because if you can make people think that it's a mental problem, or that then they don't have to look at, well, maybe there's a religious problem here or a spiritual problem, mm-hmm. that or a philosophical, ideological, right. problem, mm-hmm. that we need to look at, which points to the religion of Islam itself and what does it exactly teach. So you see,
yeah.
if you deflect to say, well, they're just crazy, then you don't have to deal with the because that's a very uncomfortable position for a lot of people to be in, especially people who are liberal. They want to be tolerant. We all want to be tolerant, but they don't want to consider that maybe there's something wrong inherently with the religious teaching itself in Islam. You see what I'm saying? They think that will unnecessarily bring persecution on Muslims in general. So anyway, that's really PC, and PC is a way of self-delusion. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, introduce our next guest, please.
Yes, right now we have on with us Dan Steiner of Preborn. Many of you have been hearing about Preborn throughout the week on American Family Radio and our partnership. Dan, welcome to Today's Issues.
What a joy to join you, fellas. Thanks for having us on.
For our listeners who have been hearing about our partnership with Preborn and just want to know a brief overview of what Preborn does, what the ministry does, tell our listeners about that.
Well, our mission is to run and lead pregnancy centers to save more lives, unborn children, and the souls of their mothers in an effort to glorify Jesus Christ. With the help of American Family Radio, last year, over 20,000 women have heard the gospel, and over 8,400 came to Christ, and over 7,900 babies were saved. And I'm happy to report that the partnership that you all have allowed here between Preborn and American Family Radio probably accounts for about half those babies. It's been really great, and it's making a difference in the highest abortion cities in the United States. As we speak here this morning, we're underwriting, with y'all's help, virtually all of the ultrasound sessions being given to girls in the entire state of Florida, Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, most of Chicago, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. So thank you for allowing us to, you know, partner together like this.
Mm-hmm. So a gift of how much accomplishes this goal? Explain to our listeners what a donation actually does.
Yeah, so we've got a unique program that allows us to, for $28, provide an ultrasound 45-minute session typically for a young woman somewhere in the United States. And that ultrasound is the game changer. If a woman comes in, she wants an abortion 40, 40% of the time, if we try to just talk her out of it, we'll be successful. Less than half of the time. However, if she meets her baby on ultrasound, hears her own baby's heartbeat, sees her own baby on the screen for the first time, having that close encounter of the most intimate kind with her own child, 80% is the under-promise, over-deliver number for that woman. And that $28 session provides the cost of that ultrasound session. And okay. The neat thing about it is 100% of it we pass through. It's a pass-through for preborn. We underwrite our own administrative costs. So 100% goes to our partner centers, and 100% of it's tax-deductible. So $28 provides one ultrasound. Five can be provided for $140.
All right. Here's the situation, folks. This is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And American Family Radio has always spent a lot of time during January. Well, we do during the year, too. Talk about the need to end abortion and to champion the right to life of unborn babies. Why? Because God does. And the Bible tells us life begins at conception. So what we're doing is trying to save human lives. And that's what preborn, that's the ministry that Dan represents. So we've vetted preborn, and we've now for how many years? 2 years. We've been working together, and so we know them to be true to their word. As Dan just said, the money will go to provide an ultrasound for women and young ladies who are pregnant. And as he said, it's a game changer when the girls, young ladies, see the baby on the ultrasound. That's different than just talking about being pro-choice. Then they see it's a beating heart, it's a real human being. What I'm about to do has consequences. So for $28, you can buy one of these ultrasounds for a young lady across the country. And here's the phone number. 100% of your donation goes directly to the pregnancy centers providing the ultrasounds. That should be noted. Here's the phone number to call. What do they do? Just give you a credit card or something, Dan?
Yeah, credit card is great.
Okay. $28, right?
$28 for one, $140 for five.
Okay. So the more you want to give, the more ultrasounds it provides. And you can consider yourself directly involved in the pro-life cause when you do this because you're helping to save a baby. Here's the phone number, 877. This is to call to make a donation. 877-616-2396. Again, I'll give it the phone number, 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. If you want to go and make a gift on the internet, you can go to our site, afr.net, afr.net. Dan, thank you for your time. We look forward to visiting with you again, and God bless you in your ministry.
Thanks for helping to save lives, guys. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Dan Steiner. Where was he joining us from, Walker? Do you know?
Dan? Not sure.
Dan?
Not
all right.
Sure.
That is, you really have to stop and think about that for a second. For $28.
Yeah.
Which is a meal at a restaurant.
Yeah.
For $28, you can save a life.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. And as we always say, support your local crisis pregnancy center too.
Sure.
I would say you need to be giving to your local crisis pregnancy center on a regular basis, monthly if you can, some kind of gift, even if it's $10 to help them out, because they minister to women too, and they give they give the gospel message to them as well. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Walker, Ray, and Fred. Go ahead. Fred, what else you got?
I have to stick with this because I find it absolutely astounding, and our audience is very intelligent. They know this. Planned Parenthood gets $500 million a year.
From the government.
From the government.
Mm-hmm.
This group doesn't get a penny from the government. Mm-hmm. They're trying to save lives.
Right.
Planned Parenthood is out to take lives away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
And it just burns me. Election after election, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, There are a lot of pro-life congressmen. President Trump is trying to work towards this. It's very entrenched. Planned Parenthood has been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And what they do is the other side, they'll use the good that Planned Parenthood does, and they'll say this offsets the abortion. But what they do a bookkeeping trick too. They say no, Planned Parenthood doesn't use tax dollars to perform abortion. That's a separate part of their organization. The money that the tax dollars go to only provide other services to women who are in poor neighborhoods and such like this. So it's a sleight of hand trick that they use.
But this is not a priority for Republicans, for leadership Republicans, because they have the majority of both chambers and the White House now, and they have rules that they've set up their own rules to where they can't do this. They can only vote once a year on good legislation, pro-life legislation, etc. So if they really wanted to do it, the leadership, they really wanted to do it, they could, or they could at least exert the effort.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's true.
They don't.
So the problem is really the Republicans don't have the heart, or they don't have the unity, or within themselves in their own caucus. They really, what you're saying, Walker, they really don't have the votes to do it.
Right.
Even though numerically they're in the majority.
Yes, and as Dad mentioned, there are many pro-life Republicans, many of the Freedom Caucus members, and even beyond the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
Many of probably 75% to 80% have a staunch pro-life voting record, but with the narrow margins you have in the Senate, etc., it's hard to get anything like this. It's a polarizing issue.
Yeah, it's a hard fight, absolutely, but there. We our side needs to continue to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah, I'm
talking about the
absolutely
Republican leadership. Yeah. All right, Fred, we got 2 or 3 minutes here. You got any good news over there, Fred? You have had some good news.
Well, I just want to draw attention to a story that's on One News Now today with our good friend and colleague Abe Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about what a lot of people have been talking about this week, and it was still on the front page of Fox News this morning, the possibility of Oprah Winfrey running in 2020. It's amazing the legs that this story has received, but we talked to Abe about that possibility, and here's the headline from the story we have, "Warning to Christians, Don't Board the Oprah Bandwagon." And what Abe really addresses here is where Oprah Winfrey is spiritually. And people need to take notice of this. You can go to YouTube, and there's an interview. Oprah Winfrey is interviewing Rob Bell, who is a heretic. And he believes there are many ways of salvation, but also he is an endorser of homosexual marriage, homosexuality.
Who's he exactly?
Rob Bell. The former megachurch pastor from up north. Now he's out there campaigning for all of this other stuff that I just mentioned. But he's interviewed, Oprah Winfrey is interviewing Rob Bell and his wife, and she sits there and she says she is so happy that Rob Bell is promoting a theology where she says God has made homosexuals and they ought to be accepted and the church ought to accept homosexuality. So Abe is, and the story goes on here, but Abe is just warning folks, you may have the warm fuzzies about Oprah Winfrey because she's a nice lady and she gives cars away, but be very careful. Spiritually, she's very dark.
Yeah, she's a universalist, if you will. She's an all roads lead to God.
Mm-hmm. Very new age.
Very
new age.
And where can we read that story you're talking about?
OneNewsNow.com.
OneNewsNow.com?
Mm-hmm.
And Walker, did you link to it on our Facebook page?
I did.
Already?
Already.
Walker, he's quick.
I'm on top of things.
On the ball over here. Today's Issues, the program. You can watch the show on our Facebook page for Today's Issues. Fred will now exit, and in comes Steve Jordahl with more news.
We're with a big story.
Yeah, a big story coming up having to do with the Moody Bible
Institute.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.